This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Thank you. You should have gotten a handout that looks something like that and a little card that looked like that. And so we'll just kind of jump in here. fact of the matter is, problem solving is an important life skill for all of us. And I'm not necessarily talking about just relationship problem solving, but problem solving, period, is an important life skill. The Bible says in Mark chapter 9, verse 50, says, "And have peace one with another." And if you back up in that passage of scripture in Mark chapter 9, if you back up and look at the context there, starting in verse 39, this is the words of Jesus. Jesus was speaking here for about 10 verses. And in the words of Jesus, he says, right away, verse 39, do not, where are we at here? Jesus talks about for two or three verses there, he talks about how important it is not to have different groups where you kind of fight with each other from your groups. He talks about in verse 42, it says, "Whosoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble." There's a warning there about people who cause the new in Christ or new believers in Christ to stumble. Verse 45 says, this is where it gets kind of radical in what Jesus says, "If your foot offends you, cut it off," right? He says in verse 46, pluck your eye out if it's a problem. Like, Jesus is pretty serious about solving problems if we're talking about cutting your hand off or plucking your eye out. He says in verse 48, I'm just trying to get the context for the verse that I'm referring to here is kind of our text. He says in verse 48 that you're going to be seasoned. Verse 49, you'll be seasoned with fire. I believe that means that we're going to have problems, right? We're going to go through difficulties. That is a part of life. And then in verse 49, he says, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. These are the words of Jesus. And I believe that problems are a part of life. Problems will happen in life. I know maybe one reason that you're in this little workshop is because you're one of those people, along with me, that says, can't we all just get along? Can't we just do better than this? And the fact of the matter is, probably not on this earth. It's not always going to work right. Problems are a part of life. Actually, problems are a part of life in many physical ways. Like, you probably had to solve some problems even to get here today. You might need a cup of coffee just to solve the problem of staying awake while you're in this session. You solve problems all the time. Just before this session, somebody from camp called me and said that one of our groups is on the road and the brakes went bad on their van, and kind of working through a problem, trying to figure out what to do, and called me. And I was thinking, well, if I was in Kevin Bauman's class on how to be a decent administrator, I wouldn't have to answer that problem. But problems are a part of life. Everywhere you go and whatever you do, and you're here as a problem solver. Like, I know you're a problem solver. You're a responsible person, and you solve a lot of problems with your car and with your house and your computer problems. It is a part of life. But my point in this session is that problems are a part of life, and I think sometimes we look at relationship problems as somehow a little different because, and we'll talk about some of the reasons why, because they are a little more messy. But I want to say, if we would handle them a little bit like my grandfather used to tell me, he was a farmer. He farmed all his life. He helped start a couple churches, but he was just a very earthy and plain man. And I remember him as a boy telling me that a lazy man will walk around with a stone in his shoe all day, but a hardworking man will stop and get that pebble out of his shoe so he can work. And that's kind of problem solving, right? Isn't that problem solving? Solve the problem. If there's a problem, let's face it. And we tend to do okay on that in physical ways, but maybe in relationship ways, we avoid problems or we don't do as well. Problems are difficult. So this session is for missionaries, church leaders, parents, teachers. We all solve problems. The Bible says in Galatians 5:14, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. The Bible is full of scriptures about how important it is to get along with each other. But relationship problem solving is difficult. As I mentioned, it gets kind of messy, and one of the reasons is because emotions are involved. You can fix your car, and the car doesn't have a lot of feelings. But when you're working on relationship problems with other people, there's emotions that are involved in that kind of problem solving. There's also pride and selfishness and fear and laziness and a lot of other human ills, or a lot of other things that are a part of being a human that create a barrier for us to solve problems. I know that fear is a big one for me. Many times the problems that I have with people that I live with and work with, the thing that holds me back is just plain old fear. Big old me, I'm still afraid to go solve relationship problems and just talk about the problem that's there. The Bible says in 1 John, somewhere in 1 John, that perfect love casts out fear, right? That's 1 John. Perfect love casts out fear. And I've been saying to our staff at the boys' camp for years that you cannot love a boy well that you're afraid of. And sometimes that the boys that we work with, they're intimidated and they're hard to love. There's a fear inside of us that makes it difficult to love that boy. And I believe that in order for us to love a boy and solve problems with him, we have to get past that fear. The same is true for brothers and sisters in Christ. The same is true in a business and a family. Fear is a real barrier and makes problem solving difficult. The fact of the matter is that a lot of good efforts to expand God's kingdom are lost because we don't solve problems well. Human beings don't do so well at loving each other, caring about each other, and resolving our problems. I sometimes wonder, or it sometimes amazes me, that God chose you and I, human beings, to carry his message forth into the world, to share the truths of Scripture, because we sometimes do so poorly at it. And we do bite and devour each other too much. And so sometimes I think God's kingdom suffers because we don't solve problems well. Churches split and businesses fail and mission efforts flounder because relational problem solving is really difficult. And I'm guessing that you already know all those things. That's why you're in this workshop this afternoon. And so I just want to look at Matthew 18. And I want to say that Matthew 18 is another basis for what I'd like to share this afternoon that is really important. And this is a scripture that you're familiar with. The chapter is a familiar scripture that's referred to often in brothers coming together and resolving their problems. It says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if thou shalt hear and if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Matthew 18. And there's actually some other thoughts in Matthew 18 that maybe I'll refer to a little later. But here's the kind of the heart of what I would like to share that I believe is based on Matthew 18. Your little card that I gave you, it has basically the points that I want to go over right now. And you could say that maybe this is the part that for 20 years, 25 years, I've been privileged to be a part of sharing this secret sauce, if you will, with families at camp. I've been able to share this with parent group meetings, in our staff meetings, in our staff trainings. This guide to problem solving, relationship problem solving. And when we walk through this and when you look at it, you're going to be amazed how kind of ridiculously simple and common sense it is. It's just actually nothing here that you probably don't already know. But the first step is to identify the problem. All right? When we come together, when there's a problem between two people, there's someone is angry at someone else, or there's a problem in our church, in our business, we have to find a way to get together and identify the problem. And in order to identify the problem, there has to be a high level of honesty among the people that are trying to resolve this problem. And also, there has to be a high level of openness where everyone participates. If I get together in a problem-solving session and I identify the problem and I tell you what I think the problem is, that doesn't necessarily mean that we've identified the problem, right? You need to tell me what you think the problem is and how you feel about it, and so does the next person and the next person and whoever is involved in this problem that we have. Everyone has to participate. If I sit in this problem-solving session or in this little gathering, and this can be, you know, this can be around a dinner table, this can be after church, this can be driving down the road in a car. Problem-solving sessions can happen anywhere where there's people. It doesn't have to be some kind of fancy session where we, you know, we have to hire a retreat center to do this. This is just simple, normal, daily living kind of stuff that we come together and we know there's a problem between us or in our work or whatever we're doing. There's a problem. We just come together and we identify the problem. And it's important that we're honest with each other. How do you really feel about it? What do you really think about what happened here? And everyone has to participate. This part of problem solving, and this particular step in problem solving is at camp, and in my experience in helping people solve problems, this is the hardest step. The first step is actually identifying what really is the problem. How do you really feel about this? What really happened to you? What is it that is making you angry? Why is our relationship have a blockage in it to really work at identifying what the problem is? This is the most time-consuming part of a problem or relationship difficulty, the most time-consuming and the hardest part. And many times it takes several tries at it. We may get together and talk about it on Wednesday, but we may find out Friday morning that we need to get together and kind of talk about the same thing, because we didn't really get it all identified Wednesday the last time we tried to talk about it. We may have to come back a few days later or a week later or whatever. It takes a lot of effort to simply identify the problem. The second step in problem solving is to discuss possible solutions. And here again, there needs to be authentic discussion about what are our options to resolve this problem. In my family, I'm the dad, obviously. And in my family, I tell our family that we can discuss anything. And then we'll just vote on it. Dad gets 10 votes and everybody else gets one. And that's how we'll just take care of things. It's a democracy and we solve our problems. But that's kind of a joke, right? If that's really how it is in your church gathering or in your work mission effort, when you have people could come together and if one person has 10 votes, your problems aren't going to get solved, right? There has to be authentic kind of discussion about what are our solutions. If it's always my solution that gets chosen, there's something wrong with our process. There needs to be an authentic kind of look at what are our options with some widespread input, asking input from even maybe some people outside of our circle, maybe some input from books and resources. The bigger your problem, maybe the more time you need to spend on figuring out what our options are. What could we do to resolve our problem? Yeah, you know this process. When you go to the mechanic to fix the brakes on your car, he tells you, well, you can fix them for $62 with this kind, but you can get a better set of brake pads for $98 and really good ones that have a lifetime warranty and for the life of your car are $118. So you have options, right? And this is simple stuff. This kind of physical stuff, and I think a similar process should happen in relationship problems. What are our options in solving this problem? whether it's in our family or business or whatever. The third step in problem solving is to choose a solution. The people that are a part of this problem need to together choose what is a plan of action or a solution to the problem that we agree on. And I may have a little bit of a grudging, agreement. Maybe I don't feel really good about moving forward on this option, but I'm going to have to compromise sometimes. I'm going to have to give in to the greater good of the group sometimes. But once this solution to our problem is chosen, you know, everybody has to get behind it and make it work. If I say, okay, if that's what y'all want to do to solve this problem, if you think that's what we want to do, I guess, you know, you just go ahead. You've heard people like that in discussions around problems. You just go ahead, but I'm not going to be any part of it. Well, we haven't really solved our problem yet, right? We have a member of our group that hasn't put his shoulder to the wheel. He hasn't bought in. And so it's pretty important in this process of choosing a solution that it's not just the people with power or with authority that agree to the solution to solve this problem. It's something that everyone is a part of, and just recognizing that there's going to be there has to be some give and take, but at the end we all agree that we can buy in and we're going to do our best. Now, this is where it comes to the fourth step in this little simple process. As we put the solution into action, and as we choose a solution that we all agree on, and by the way, a person that agrees to something, or a person will work hardest for their own idea. Did you ever notice that? If somehow the person that has maybe the biggest problem, if you can really help him bring his ideas to resolving this problem, and he's going to work hardest for his ideas. That's what I do. I like my ideas, and you probably like your ideas too. So when we agree to something, we choose a solution. It's important that everybody buys in, and you get people to work for their solution. We kind of joke about this sometimes at camp, that the ideas to do things and the ideas that we have to solve problems, ideally, at the end of the day or the end of this project that we're working on, wherever the idea for our project comes from, ideally, at the end of the day, you don't even really know whose idea it was. Right? Because we all agreed to it and we all just went for it. So it was whose idea was it to go on this trip anyway? Or whose idea was it to get up a half an hour early so we could be on time for breakfast? Whose idea was that? Well, we all agreed. And we barely even know whose idea it was, because everybody said, okay, I'm in. I'm going to do that. I'll get up a half an hour early. We've been late for breakfast for the last week. I'll get up a half an hour earlier, and we'll try to get our chores done for once. And at the end of the day, if you have the right kind of buy-in where everybody chooses that solution, you hardly know whose idea it was. So fourth step is to put the solution into action. And this is where this is not this little guide to problem solving is not a, okay, we go 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we have the steps down and we're done. This is a process that where you may get to number three, where you choose a solution, and you may find out that we didn't even really identify the whole problem yet, and so we have to go back to one and keep on working. The process of choosing a solution brings up issues, or as we discuss the possible solutions in number two, it may bring up issues that, oh, that's right, I'm upset about that too. That thing that happened last week or last year, or you know, in some cases in our churches and communities, we've been living together and working together for decades, and so there may be something from the 70s we have to talk about before we can really move forward and actually have the whole problem identified. So this process isn't like a 1, 2, 3, 4 thing. You might get to two and have to go back to one, or you get to putting a solution into action. Well, we work through this problem, and in the case that I just mentioned of getting up a half an hour early so we can make it breakfast, a group of boys at camp. So we actually get to that point and say, okay, we choose a solution. We're going to get up. And then we go to put it in action. Maybe the next morning the alarm goes off and, you know, Chief is waking his group up and it's a half an hour early. And it's like, wait a minute. I didn't say we had, you know how hard it is to get up at your own, you know, in your own warm house. Can you imagine how hard it is to get up at in a campsite where it's kind of cold? Those six or eight blankets that you're under are nice and warm. And we have to get up a half an hour early. Wait a minute. I didn't agree. Did I agree to that? No, I didn't. We may have to go back and look at it again. We started putting this solution into action and it didn't work out so well. So we have to go back and identify the problem, look at, possible solutions. Maybe there's other solutions other than just getting up a half an hour earlier. But we might have to go through this process however many times. But the fourth step then is to put the solution into action. And we may need to try it on for size. We need to make small adjustments to the solution that we agreed to. We may have to scrap the problem and start all over. But sometimes when you set in a little circle or you set in a little meeting as a brotherhood after church and you talk about something, it sounds like it'd be great until you put it into action a week later and then it's not so good after all. And we have to go back. This is the hard part, I think. We have to go back to the drawing board and identify the problem, you know, and do this all again. But let's be committed to it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I share this with you. The fifth step is at the end of this kind of process is to evaluate it together. And evaluate, you know, what did we just talk about? What are things that we just said? Have we really heard everyone? Is this really going to work? Just to kind of quickly evaluate our process of steps 1 to 4. I'm sharing this with you today because Richard inspired me to share, okay, to kind of take this little process outside of camp. I'm also sharing it with you because I believe it's based on Scripture, all right? I'm also sharing it with you because I've seen this work time and time and time again. There's marriages. I've had the privilege to be a part of families where they learn to talk about problems with each other and they learn to do this simple little thing that's based on Matthew 18 and other scriptures. You learn to do this simple little thing and a year later into practicing problem solving, you know, a mom comes to me and say, "You saved our marriage." Well, I didn't save our marriage. The principles of God's word saved their marriage. You know, I've seen this happen where, groups of boys that struggle and can barely make it to breakfast, when they learn how to solve problems with each other, they can do some pretty special things. They can go on amazing trips and work projects that are pretty amazing. I've also had an opportunity to see this problem-solving process work in churches and in brotherhoods where people learn how to talk to each other. And there's nobody that's whipping out their little problem-solving card and says, "Okay, which one are we on now?" No, they become just a part of life, right? You barely even know you're working through this thing. I would suggest you tuck it in your Bible. But when you're in your problem-solving session, don't be like, "Are we on 3 or 4? That's not the idea. This is not a recipe or some kind of magic potion that will fix all our relationship problems. This is just kind of a few principles that I've seen work. And so that's why I'm sharing it with you today, because I think it can go beyond. I'd just like for more people to do this, and I've seen it work in church brotherhood situations too. In fact, on the way here, I stopped at McDonald's to sit down and kind of got a little quiet corner because I wanted to think about this session a little bit. And while I was sitting over in the corner of McDonald's thinking about this and kind of working on this session, I heard over in the next corner the manager of the McDonald's sitting and talking to an employee, and that employee was talking about some challenges that they were having in the workplace there at McDonald's. And they were doing this same thing. This is common sense. The manager at McDonald's was actually kind of, "Okay, well, what seems to be the problem?" And, "Well, that's number one. I saw it." And then they kind of talked about what are some options and came up with some solutions. And I was inspired. It happens at McDonald's. That's amazing. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The reality of it is that this problem-solving stuff works better if we have a few of these ingredients as a part of it, okay? If we're practicing the fruits of the Spirit, as mentioned in Galatians, then it's much easier for problems to be solved. You have to have a few of these ingredients as a part of what you're doing to resolve relationship problems. One of the things is that's really important to solve problems well is for people to love each other, to have a godly love for one another, and to have what I'm calling a sanctuary where they can do that. If you look at Psalm 73, talks about the psalmist talks about a sanctuary where he came into the sanctuary and then life made sense. You go read Psalm 73, but he talks about it for 15, 20 verses about how life didn't make sense, injustices ruled, the wicked had eyes that stood out with fatness. But then he gets to the middle of that psalm and he says, until I went into the sanctuary, then I understood. And he goes on. And I think that is what's needed to have good problem solving, where there's a sanctuary where truth and righteousness prevail, where there isn't manipulation, where there isn't threats or blackmail, where there's an honest process of the fruits, or an honest experience of the fruits of the Spirit, where people love and practice meekness and temperance and all that stuff. I think that's pretty important to have that sanctuary. I think another thing that is an ingredient that's really important to good problem solving is that we seriously look at problems as an opportunity. When I first went to camp back 25 years ago, I didn't know that problems were a good thing. And I still sometimes have to pinch myself to remember that. But I've learned that problems are an opportunity. And so often we look at, oh, not another problem, not another customer complaint, not, oh, do you mean to tell me that my teenage daughter has that issue again? You know, and my brother in the church, does he really think that after we discuss this? You know, we look at it as a bad thing. But I think if we can have this attitude where problems are the places where we learn, the hardest times in life, this is biblical, the hardest things in life is where you grow. You make progress through trials. Isn't that what the Bible says? It's the trying of our faith that works patience. And so, you know, I remember some years ago, there was a chief that came to our camp to work there. And up through his growing years, he came from a really good family, excellent family, went to an excellent school, excellent high school. He was a part of a really good youth group. And all his life, he had been successful with pretty much everything. He was the president of the youth group. He was the young person in the youth group that everybody liked, and all the old ladies at church thought he was a darling. And you know, the he was just, everything had gone well for him up to this point. And he came to camp and expected more of the same. And he came into our camp, and we assigned him to a group of 10 boys that kicked him in the teeth. And he never had difficulty and trial and struggle like he had had before. His life had been kind of easy. And this is, he said that, I didn't. His life had been kind of easy before that. But he came to camp, and this was like, now it's trials and problems and struggles like he had never experienced. But because he was a good guy with a lot of good character and tact in his life, he rose to that challenge and made more progress personally in his relationship with God and the way he relates to people than he had ever made in all those years in a cushy kind of environment, if you will. And I've seen that happen. And you know that's true in your life. You've made the most progress in the trying times. And so if we would have this attitude that problems are an opportunity, we are going to move towards them, get closer to the problem. If there's a problem, I want to be there. I know there's something that's not human about that. Like, we need the grace of God to be able to move towards problems. We tend to want to move away from them. We have a group of boys at our camp right now that the last 2 months they've been having a lot of problems. And so I found myself the last month or two, I'm in that campsite a lot more than I was last fall, because they're having so many problems. I'm just trying to get closer to what's going on there, because, you know, I need to understand the problem. And that's a principle that I think is important. It's an opportunity. Winston Churchill said, a pessimist sees the difficulty in opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in difficulty. I think as Christians, we should have that down. We know that trials is where it's at. Let's go for it. Let's have that attitude that we're gonna move towards the problem. And I think particularly, and I don't want to get off track here too bad, but I think particularly for men, like, this is a man. This is what it's about, to fix things. Isn't that as a man, you want to fix stuff? Is there a problem in the world? I'm going for it. I want to fix it. And I think we do that in physical things, financial things, with our computers, but let's do it in relationships too. That's kind of the challenge of what I want to share here. The other thing that needs to be a part of an ingredient to make problems have resolution is that everyone's word is valuable. Everyone counts. The littlest, smallest, snotty-nosed boy in our camp is really important for us to get our problem solved. We need to hear a little something from every member of our family, church, group, business, whatever, mission organization. We need to hear from everyone. Everyone's word is valuable, even the one who may not have a word. You know, you always have that person in your group that thinks they don't have anything to say. But as a leader in this group and a leader in this problem-solving session, we need to ask that person who hasn't spoken to say a word. And it amazes me so many times when somebody does that and says to the person who hasn't really participated much, says, "Well, Johnny, what are you thinking?" We have somebody in our church that's pretty much doesn't say a lot in our discussion sometimes, and we'll ask, "So, what are you thinking about this issue?" And he always has something wise to say that adds to the discussion. We need input from everyone. Everyone is valuable, even the smallest, least kind of respected or the person with the lowest rank, however you want to look at it. I think another ingredient that has to be in place is there has to be leadership that is persistent and prioritizes healthy relationships. The leader has to make this important, that we're gonna solve our problems. We recognize that everybody's important, but the leader's role in our church, in our business, or missions, or whatever, the leader's role is to develop and foster an attitude that we're going to make this priority. This is more important than breakfast. We're gonna have healthy relationships here. And the leader that's persistent in that and continues to work at problem solving. This isn't a one-time deal, one-session deal where we work through our little card and we're done. It has to be persistency and a priority put to it. I think another thing just to add to this, and this isn't on my PowerPoint, we have to recognize that we do live on we live in a fallen world, okay? Relationships are not going to get right. They're not going to get 100% right on this planet. And I think we can do better. I think we can work at it. We need to be persistent at it. But we do live in a fallen world, and it won't get right until we get to heaven. We are going to walk with a limp while we're on this earth, and it's okay. I say sometimes that if we can hit about 80%, we're doing okay, all right? We just won't hit 100%. We won't get it all right while we're on this earth. Some obstacles to problem solving. Matthew 18, again, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. Matthew 18, 7, that's earlier in the chapter that I just referred to a few minutes ago. So what are the obstacles to problem solving? What are things that stand in our way? I think things that we have to get over or get past in order to do a good job in relational problem solving. Unforgiveness, obviously. Unresolved conflict from the past. We have to keep our problems current. Old problems need to be solved. If I hang on to something that happened between us, years ago or last week or last month, we need to keep things current. And problems need to be resolved. And sometimes until you get the hang of this, it takes a little while just to get everything on the table. But we have to ask God for help and forgiving each other and laying down the bitterness and kind of old hatchets that are a part of us. Unforgiveness is a huge obstacle to problem solving. I wasn't ready for that. I remember I was a part of, I worked at Bald Eagle Boys Camp, and I'm at Allegheny Boys Camp now, and I've been a part of working in mission organizations all my adult life. Somebody told me recently that I've been on Mennonite welfare for 25 years. So you can look at that however you want to. But I've been a part of some kind of nonprofit organization, and as part of that, I've seen some real problems between people that are challenging and people that walk away and leave. And I remember a board member years ago that got upset at some things that were happening on the board level, and he got upset and left. I felt bad about that. And, you know, what do you do? And years later, I'm thinking it was almost 15 years later, that man, to his credit, came back to camp, and he stood in our dining hall in front of our staff and our boys, and he wept, and he said that he was sorry, and he apologized, and he laid down his unforgiveness right there in front of us all. It doesn't have to be something that you're stuck forever. And that was something that I had prayed about because, you know, it was a problem that just kind of sat there for a long time. And so what I'm saying is forgiveness can happen. Those old hatches can be buried. I think authority issues is another obstacle to problem solving. And this kind of cuts both ways. When people in authority wear their authority on their sleeve, and when people who are not in authority don't know how to respect authority. When a person doesn't know how to respect authority, that person is in for a lot of problems in life, right? The reality of it is that authority issues kind of going both ways are a problem. And I think it's an obstacle to problem solving. And we have to, as leaders, we have to learn to wear our authority lightly and make it easy for people to be under our authority. As people under authority, we have to know how to respect our authority. My board chairman is sitting up here on the front row, and he's gonna yank me off the stage as soon as I mess up. No, just kidding. But that relationship with your authority and how you respect the authorities over you is pretty important. And if we're gonna solve problems with each other, we have to be pretty good at authority issues. I think another obstacle is just natural defensiveness. We as human beings are naturally defensive with each other. I sometimes am amazed at groups of boys at camp where there's 10 boys that come together and, you know, their 9 peers all say, "Johnny, you got to quit that. You get angry every time we play a game. You can't even play a game." So there's 9 boys that are really pounding him for having this problem. That boy, you know, can look at his 9 peers and say, yeah, okay. You know, I would get more defensive than that. I'd be like, leave me alone. You know, if I want to get mad about a game, you tripped me, whatever, right? There's always some kind of reason. So I'm amazed sometimes at boys at camp at how they're just, we're naturally pretty defensive with each other in our churches and our mission organizations. And I think that's an obstacle to problem solving. We have to find ways to make it easy for another person that's confronted not to feel like they have to defend themselves. And we have to foster an environment where there's all the fruits of the Spirit are present so we don't have to get defensive with each other. But that is a difficult one. There's just kind of a natural defensiveness that we have to get over, an obstacle that we have to learn how to not protect ourselves and just to be vulnerable with our brothers and say, speak to me. Tell me what you see. And I need to learn how to do that. The fourth obstacle is a lack of balance. And I want to try to draw a little illustration here real quick.
you think about a bike wheel. This is a bike wheel with a hub in the center. And in order, I learned something about bicycles here recently because my bike had a problem. But you have, in a bike wheel, you have spokes that go all the way around, right? You have spokes that go, I'm done. You have spokes that go all the way around, and if you have the function of those spokes is there has to be tension. All those spokes have tension. If you cut one of those spokes, that's what happened to my bike. One of the spokes broke, and my bike wobbled, and it just kind of ruined the whole function of my bike just because one spoke broke. And so I want to say that in order to have good problem solving, an obstacle to problem solving is when you don't have good tension in your group. Like, you need people with strengths and weaknesses. You need people that know how to talk. You need people that know how to listen. You need prophets. You need all the gifts of, now I can't think what they're called. The gifts of like exhortation and mercy and all. What are they called? Come on, Rick, help me out. The gifts of the Spirit. Thank you. You need all the gifts of the Spirit in your group to make problem solving work well, because that brings attention there. That, you know, you got the mercy pulling one way and the prophet pulling the other way. You know you have all these different gifts and personalities. Even you need different personalities. You can't have all chiefs and no Indians. You can't have all Indians, right? You got to have people that are leaders and people that follow, and you got people that clean the bathroom and people that stand up front. And everything in between. I think you have to have good balance in your group, in your brotherhood, in your business. And sometimes you need to look for ways to bring some balance. I think one of the most tragic things is when we don't solve our problems with each other, and then you have three or four spokes that just leave. Well, both wheels are broke now, right? You don't have anything. The wheel is broken, and that's what happens in too many of our problem solving sessions, or too many of our relationships, where, you know, the tension is there. People are pulling every direction. We've got to be committed to staying together. We're all part of the same wheel. We're going to all pull. It's okay if there's some tension. Be fine with some tension. It actually is what makes it work. Is the balance of tension is there. So I think those are some obstacles that are a part of problem solving, or that are in the way of problem solving. I appreciate your attention. Any questions, comments? God bless you all.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769. Or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.